Hello, this is Mark Viquez, regional correspondent for the website Stadium Journey, the industry's leader in sports travel and reviews. Check out the new and improved website. We're uploading new reviews every day along with some content stories. That's all on stadiumjourney.com. My guest today is Cody White, who is one of the production specialists for the San Antonio Missions of the Texas League. He even has his own YouTube channel at CodyWhite210, and you can catch him talking about baseball, critiquing logos from various leagues across the country, and talking a little Sandlot baseball, which we'll get into in this interview. Cody, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Mark. It's great to be here. And you know, it's funny, we spoke for just a few minutes before we started recording. Yes. And I didn't notice until just now that poster behind you. I have the exact one.
Really?
In my bedroom. Yeah, I got that in Nashville a few years ago. So
yeah, I got the last one that they had. It might have been a year after they had opened the stadium. And I said, oh, I have to have this. So it's kind of, I don't know. It took me a while to get that frame. I had that frame was a lot bigger. I had to cut it down. I had it rolled up. I could not find a perfect frame. I actually left it at a Michael's store by mistake. Nice. And I had to go back and get it. And then it got a little wrinkled. So that just left it up there. I said, you know, it took me forever to get that frame. So yeah, that's an awesome look. I love that ballpark in Nashville. Hopefully I get there this year. It's been a while. That neighborhood has grown up quite a bit since my last visit. So yeah, that's great. We got some good taste in baseball decorations. So
yeah, apparently I was kind of with you on the frame thing. That's like, I don't remember the size of that poster, but it was a very specific thing that I had to go into. You know, also got it from Michael's. They had this, you know, they had this frame on back order for a while, and I think I paid like $60 for it because of the, you know, the odd dimensions and then the time it took to get it. And it's got like real thick borders. So it's funny. It's probably the weirdest poster size I've ever had, but it's now like the cornerstone of some of the ball posters that I have in my
bedroom.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right, because I get some other posters. You can't see them on the screen here, but yeah, they're easy to find. This one wasn't. So wow, that is odd.
The struggle is real. I've been there.
The struggle is real. The two of us. We could just have a conversation about that. So, you know, like posters. So anyway, San Antonio Missions, baseball production specialist. How long have you been with the club? How did you get involved in baseball to begin with?
Yeah, so this is actually going to be my fourth year going into it. Although it really feels kind of like my third year, because my first year that I was hired was 2020, which, you know, as we know, something about like end of the world kind of thing going on. Like
kind of a slow time for my baseball travels.
It was a very, very odd time. But yeah, so they, you know, the minor league season was canceled across the board. And then, so I didn't actually, you know, get started until 2021. So this will be, I guess, you know, it feels like my third official year where I'm actually like working with the team and doing things. Although, you know, I like to say it's my fourth year, but, you know, I moved here to San Antonio from Pittsburgh in, like first week of 2020. And it was, you know, kind of immediately things started shutting down and everything was kind of crazy. So, you know, I really feel that I kind of like slow rolled, not even just like my position with the missions, but also just kind of like my niche into the city of San Antonio. And and it's been kind of a wild ride ever since. But you know, getting with the team, I spent some time working in minor league baseball, especially when I was in college. I actually worked for the Missoula Osprey in Missoula, Montana, which is where I went to school at. And you know, now they've actually rebranded as they're no longer the Osprey, they're the Paddleheads. Exactly. So that actually takes some getting used to, just saying Paddleheads. But I worked for them for 4 years, had nothing to do with productions in any way. It was just kind of like, you know, I think 1 year I was ushering, and then I was in food and beverage, and then the next year I was like the head cook. And that was one of the funnest summers that I ever had, because, you know, just a quick side note on this. J.K. Simmons, the actor, went to the theater department at the University of Montana. He's like the reason that the, you know, the theater program is as successful as it is. And the summer that he won an Oscar for his role in Whiplash, he and his family were visiting Missoula, I cooked some hot dogs that he and his family ate. And so that's kind of like my claim to fame, is that, yeah, like Oh yeah, you know, the summer that J.K. Simmons won an Academy Award. I think I said an Oscar. I think those are the same thing, Academy Award and Oscar.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, same thing. But yeah, he and his family visited Missoula, and I cooked the hot dogs that they ate. So I was it's like my foot in the door for a potential acting career. And then we have an icebreaker if I ever meet him in real life, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, remember that hot dog I gave you back in the summer of 2018, 2017? Oh, yeah, that was tasty. I never had had a hot dog quite as good as that. So. Yeah.
No, I'm sure that's what he'd say.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, there's some people that, you know, when they go to a ballpark, you have to have a hot dog because you just, you know, just can't have anything else. So I'm sure he had a great time that night with his family. So.
No, 100%.
Don't sell yourself short. He knew about that hot dog.
Yeah, you know, I threw in a little extra relish his way.
Yeah, So working up there in Missoula, how was life up there? You know, the scenery, lifestyle.
Oh, it's unbelievable. You know, I miss it all the time, every day. Like, you know, the skiing was something I was really big into, but just like the summer activity, you know, and especially now that I think it was 2020, you know, they did this massive like rebrand, not rebrand. What am I trying to say? For like minor league baseball across the board, they kind of shook things up and they eliminated affiliation for a lot of teams. And so, you know, the Pioneer League team or the Pioneer League that the Osprey, I'm just going to keep saying Osprey, that the Missoula team play in, you know, was completely gutted from major league affiliation. And so, you know, there was kind of a fear that a lot of these ballparks in Montana and, you know, some of the surrounding areas, you know, might fold or, you know, at least like seriously gut their staff, you know, because it's all of a sudden without this affiliation with baseball or with Major League Baseball, you know, is there going to be like a fan disinterest to show up to the ballpark anymore? And, you know, that we could kind of see that like the worst timing possible. You know, it's like, okay, for these teams, not only losing Major League affiliation, now it's like they're canceling seasons altogether. But by and large, like they've been like thriving really ever since. Like, I don't know, it's hard to compare if they've been doing like, you know, just as well or better, but you know, from what I've seen, like the community still like shows up. I was actually able to go back to Montana last summer and I stayed there for like 2 weeks and I saw like three Osprey games and like two of them were sold out. And like the shenanigans that they got into, like on the field were just like insane. You know, they did this big, like sword fight with the players. I don't know. It was wild. There were like all these things that I've never seen like during a professional game before. You know, I think something about like losing that affiliation, it's like, you could kind of get away with a little bit more things. Also got my cat here joining as a,
oh no, like a, no, my
guest star.
My Yorkie sometimes joins me too.
There we go.
Yeah, but yeah, not the first time we've had a pet on here. More than welcome.
Well, there you go. He won't be the last time he's here. Yeah. But yeah, like, and also, you know, not even just like, you know, the fan engagement and the different opportunities that they have for entertainment, but the surrounding, like you were just asking, the surrounding area. Oh, I mean, it's
gorgeous.
It's like, yeah, it's second to none. Those ballparks are just absolutely gorgeous. Like, I don't know. It's hard to be upset when you're looking and there's like there's mountains in the background. There's a river, you know, for that ballpark specifically there, Missoula, they have like float to the ballpark nights because it is right up against the Clark Fork River. And so I think it's like Tuesday night games. You can like float down to the river and get discounted tickets because you can get out like right there at the park. It's pretty cool.
I knew that out in Elizabeth.
Oh, okay.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
There's something like that too. You can river riders. You can take it. You can tube. I don't know if you can tube to the ballpark or tube by the ballpark. But yeah, I never knew that in Missoula. That's fascinating. Yeah. You know, it's just that thing about baseball. You always learn something a little bit new with these guests. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. You know, I recommend that to anyone, not even just for the Missoula team, but the Pioneer League as a whole is like one of my favorite leagues in baseball for sure.
Yeah, no, it's, I can tell you this, out of all the leagues I visited, I think the Pioneer League is probably the least traveled for me just because, you know, it's been a while since I've been out into Montana. And I'm trying to think any teams. Well, I've been to Colorado Springs to see a game.
Okay.
That was before the Rocky Mountain vibes. And And Great Falls. I did spend the night in Great Falls as a kid. I was unaware. This was kind of before internet was a thing. And I didn't know that they had a baseball team there. So
yeah, actually that's funny you say that. This is actually This is last year's schedule for the Great Falls Voyagers behind me. My buddy lives in Great Falls, and he sent me this. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, this is their schedule for last year.
Yeah, I know they had a kickball league 1 year during the pandemic. Okay. They said, well, we can't play baseball. We'll play kickball. And they had people come out. They had the local radio station visit. And I was searching on newspapers.com, and I found what is believed to be the oldest adult kickball league from 1921 from Great Falls, Montana.
That's so awesome. What's the team name there for that?
They're the Great Falls Voyagers. It was a
kickball. Oh, okay. League. And so that was the name of the kickball league too, then, was the Voyagers.
Well, no. The kickball league, they held it at the ballpark, and they just had like random teams show up, you know, adult league. But doing some research by chance, I found out that there was an adult league going on in 1921 in Great Falls. They're playing it indoor at the YMCA, and they had they would have reporters go out there and talk about it. And they had some really, really interesting stories. So I sent it to their GM. I'm like, oh my God, next year, the 100th anniversary of what is believed to be the oldest kickball league ever started, you know, adult kickball league. And
right. Yeah. That's wild.
And I said, you got to make a logo. You got to really get behind this, promote it. And they nothing.
Just let that one slip through the crack.
Apparently. I let that because I play adult kickball and I was a big fan. And I remember I always make shirts for a team. And I had like a 100th anniversary of adult kickball, and everybody, nobody said anything. They're like, oh, what's that 100 standing for? Like nobody came up and said, hey, what's this thing you have on your sleeve? So yeah, I missed opportunity, you know?
Absolutely. I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah, adult kickball is rampant. Yeah, 100 years adult kickball. Now, I don't think any adult played kickball until like 1998 in Washington. That's
kind of where I'm at. I did not know the sport was nearly that old. You know, I'd assume anything kickball related would have just been soccer at that point.
No. Well, I mean, kickball was played by kids and Catholic schoolgirls. And then sometime in 1998, a couple lawyers started a league on the lawn in Washington. And they made so much money from it that they quit their jobs as lawyers. And it's now WACA, you know, World Adult Kickball Association. And it's huge. It's everywhere. And Indianapolis has a big league. I assume San Antonio probably has adult leagues.
They probably do, actually. It's called WACA. I'm going to look that up later.
There's WACA. There's Go Kickball. There's different circuits, sometimes different league names. Sometimes a local city says, hey, we're just going to have our own, and we'll call it the San Antonio Kickball League or something like that. But I some teams will play in minor league ballparks. I know they do that out in Hampton Roads, Virginia. They did that up in Grand Rapids. Not Grand Rapids.
Great Falls.
Great Falls. They probably did it in Grand Rapids too, but up there in Michigan. So yeah, there's that connection there. And I think sometimes it should be championed a little bit more, you know?
Like I agree.
Zulu, we're talking kickball, and then you head down to San Antonio. What did you fill out a job, or did you know somebody down there that said, hey, come down to San Antonio, I got a spot for you?
No, actually, so I graduated from the University of Montana in 2017. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to Pittsburgh, and honestly, like during that summer of 2017, I kind of fulfilled what was like a lifelong dream to travel to all 30 major league stadiums.
Yes.
And at the time, like I think I had visited 13. And so I was like, okay, like I can do the 17, you know, and just kind of call it there. But, you know, I decided to kind of like, if I was going to do that, I was like, I might as well just push for all of them at that point. Just to kind of give it like, you know, more of a, like a quest. And so, you know, I started a blog and like, I took pictures and kind of made it this whole like adventure. And and I think Pittsburgh was like ballpark number 20 for me, something like that. Like there was like a stretch where I went to like 5 ballparks in 5 days, including Nashville, actually, now that I think about this, like kind of backtracking, which is where I got that poster. But after I like visited the stadium there, I kind of knew at that point, because what was in the back of my mind was also like researching where I wanted to live, knowing that I kind of wanted to move from Montana for a while. And honestly, that ballpark there at PNC was what sold me. And, you know, it's funny is like, even before we started this, this interview here, I was reading the review on the website, and I'm not sure who did the review for PNC Park, but I mean, it was really on the nose. for the Stadium Journey review of that ballpark. It made me want to move to Pittsburgh just going to a game there, honestly. But I was there for, you know, that was 2017 going into 2020, and I started seeing this girl and we got serious, and you know, she was from San Antonio, and it's such a cliche. You know, but I felt myself kind of at like a crossroads of, you know, I really wanted to, you know, get back into working in baseball like I did when I was in Missoula. And I wasn't doing that in Pittsburgh at all. I was just kind of doing a bunch of different things. And so I felt at a crossroads. We got to a point where, you know, she wanted to move back to San Antonio and I was open for a change. And we got serious and we decided to move together. And like, you know, that didn't work out, but, you know, that doesn't really matter. The point is, like, I was able to like kind of get almost immediately, because I think it was like the last week of December 2019 is when I moved. And then I think in February of 2020, the Missions had a job fair. And I was like, you know, this is my chance. This is the opportunity to kind of get right back into working in minor league baseball. And, you know, that paid off. Like, I got hired, you know, even though the season was canceled. You know, and it was probably the most excited for a job that I've ever been in my life. Because, you know, again, like at the time, too, they were a AAA team for Milwaukee. And, you know, it was kind of short-lived, like very short-lived. They went right back to AA with San Antonio, or excuse me, with San Diego. But, you know, so here I am thinking, like, you know, I have like next to little experience working in professional baseball, you know, because working as like an usher, working as J.K. Simmons' personal hot dog cook, you know, that had nothing to do with productions in any way. So, like getting into working productions was kind of like a dream come true. And, you know, I like to think I just like interviewed pretty well. But yeah, that's kind of like the life story leading up to this point. And now here we are. I feel like I kind of blinked, and, you know, the fourth season, third season coming up, it's kind of wild.
Yeah. And then you're going to blink. It's going to be 10 years later, and you're going to be father of three, and well, maybe 15 years from now, but yeah.
A couple quick. More cats at least, you know.
Yeah, yeah. PNC Field, that is a favorite among the staff at Stadium Journey. I know some people like San Francisco's ballpark, but I think when you look at price points and the food, and I think PNC gets a little bit of a nod, especially that skyline.
Oh, absolutely.
From the ballpark. Who knew? I remember, you know, growing up, I was always watching games at Three Rivers. You couldn't see anything. You didn't even know it was Three Rivers.
Yeah, the concrete donut.
Cuts off
the view for everything.
Which, you know, all of a sudden it's like, hey, we're going to have a new ballpark and we're going to see the skyline of Pittsburgh. You go, wow, Pittsburgh looks nice.
So, yeah. Very underrated skyline.
Yeah, for a second. You're right. During the summer. I tell people Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, those are two really nice towns to visit. A lot of cool things to see, a lot of great food, very hilly. You'll be shocked of some of the neighborhoods there. You know, Cincinnati's got some rougher neighborhoods, but there's a lot of cool things to do out there. And Pittsburgh, yeah, I haven't been out there in quite some time. I think I needed to go out to Pittsburgh. I think on my channel of PNC.
It's well worth it. I'm actually, you know, especially now that Andrew McCutchen just got signed for a 1-year deal, I'm starting to like really push some things around and finding, you know, what's so great about, you know, not that there's many great things to say about COVID-19 pandemic, but I will say like the one really big positive takeaway from this, or from the pandemic in general, is the way that they started doing their scheduling, at least for the Texas League. Like, I'm not sure how this looks, you know, across like other leagues in minor league baseball, but, you know, for, I can't think of how they phrase it, but they essentially go on the road and they play a team for 6 games, where Monday's a travel day, and then they might host a team for, you know, six days at that point, 6 days straight. And so these really long homestands kind of create these opportunities where, you know, you look at a schedule and you're like, okay, well, we're back-to-back homestands, which means I'm going to be working for, you know, like 14 days, or at least 12 out of the next 14 days. But then it's like, okay, well, now they're on the road, like at Corpus Christi and then Amarillo. So I have this 2-week span where it's like, you know, where can I go? Like, what's something I can go check out and do? And so, you know, I will say that's kind of like the one positive takeaway is like, they did that for contact tracing, right? That's the thing. So it's like, if there's an outbreak, then it's, you know, they've been playing the same team for a while. Oh, hang on. I lost it. I think one of us is muted. I'm not hearing you. There you go. Okay.
That was probably me. I got this little device here that it's this thing.
Oh, okay.
I need a new one to keep shorting out. My last interview we did well on, but yeah, the whole having that Monday off, which was nice, but when you're traveling to ballparks, you hate, you know, you're seeing a game Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then boom, Monday's off. So that's when you try to hit like the coastal, like summer collegiate league team,
the right.
Void. So, you know, if there's a will, there's a way. So, but yeah, that, you know, I never thought about that. What is that like for a person like you? You obviously go into the office when the team's on the road, but your nights are free.
Yeah. It's kind of nice. Like for a regular game, you know, let's say we have like a 7 PM first pitch. You know, it's usually like arriving at the ballpark at 5 PM and kind of getting set up and ready. And, you know, for me, I always do this like subtractive kind of like, okay, if I have to be there at 5, it means I got to be parked at 4:50, which means if I'm trying to be there a little early, I got to be parked at 4:40. You know, so for me, it's almost like, you know, I'm leaving by 3:30 or 4 o'clock to get to the ballpark. And, you know, that kind of gives like the mornings to, you know, do my errands and do my chores and that kind of thing. And 10 PM, typically the ball game's ending. You strike down your equipment, you wrap up, you might have like a post game meeting. Doesn't usually happen unless something super goes wrong. And then it's like, you know, you have everyone right there to address it immediately going into the next game or next homestand in that case. And then, yeah, getting home 11:30 usually. And that's like that's a pretty typical day, you know, and it's not like too insane, but sometimes, you know, especially if, you know, we're getting into like rain delays, which is like the R word that we don't like to say, you know, anytime you're getting home past like midnight, going into like 1 AM, which has happened occasionally, you know, it does make for some pretty long days, but that, again, that's kind of the trade-off. Cause it's like, as soon as you have like, you know, that Monday off for travel, there's all kinds of things that you can, you know, that you can do to kind of like catch yourself up. Like even if something's going wrong, equipment's not working right, you do have like opportunity that you can address those things. And, you know, we've had like last season, we were working with like a brand new equipment setup, and yeah, so having the team be on the road for a week after those first couple homestands was really nice. Cause there's a lot of kinks, you know, that you gotta kind of figure out. And honestly, it's pretty great to have those opportunities where it's like, okay, we're gone for a week. You know, might stay for an extra day or two to kind of like tie up some loose ends, and then boom, I'm just like gone to go travel, go do something else. Like, this season, I actually want to travel more with the team, which I don't at all. I had an opportunity to do that last year. And I just didn't take advantage of it. But this year, that's something I want to like focus on more is, you know, going and, you know, not necessarily like filming the team, which is what I'm usually doing on like a nightly basis, like operating one of the cameras. But actually like covering, as you know, getting like a press pass to do like photos and, you know, write-ups and things like that. Like that's kind of the thing I would sort of like to get into more. And that's, again, the beautiful thing about this league is that it offers the opportunities to do that, to like, you know, team's gone for a week, like, yeah, go follow them, go see what's up. You know, they're not playing too far from San Antonio at any given time. You know, Frisco, Corpus Christi, pretty close by.
Now, do you, would you check out any type of baseball within San Antonio, such as maybe a Pecos League game or Texas summer collegiate team?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny, the Seguin, the River Monsters, right? The River, I'm pretty sure that's the name of the team. They reached out to me on Instagram asking me if I would review some of the logos in their league, because there's only five teams now in the Texas Collegiate Summer League, and some pretty. Yeah, I do still need to do that. Like it was kind of a nice, like humbling thing. It was the first league that's ever reached out to me and was like, hey, you know, like, again, exactly what you're asking. Like, you know, you live like pretty close by, obviously really into baseball and like, you know, work productions for a team there. Like, why not just like shout us out and kind of say what's up. And so, you know, if they're listening now, like a shout out, I will make this video. But yeah, no, I absolutely am interested in that, especially like you just mentioned the Pecos League specifically. That is a league that I knew nothing about until it was like last year I discovered this website. It's baseballmapper.com. And I think if I'm not mistaken, like you follow them or they follow you. I think, you know, when we started talking to each other on Instagram, I saw that, you know, that was kind of like a mutual follow for us. But they do incredible work. And like the map that they've built, You know, and I was looking at yours on Stadium Journey too. Like that is also, I love that, like that includes not even just the US, but other parts of the world. I love that aspect so much. But the amount of times I would just like waste on Baseball Mapper, like when I discover that website, I mean, it's unreal. Like, I don't know how they find some of these leagues, because there's some leagues that I've like never, and that's why some of those videos that I make are so fun, because I'm like looking at these logos for the first time and learning about these teams, like almost in real time.
Yeah. And I discover a lot of teams as well. There was Jason Moragas. He has a link. He has a map too. He's Jason24 on Twitter. You should follow him as well. He has a list of like new logos of people, you know, like what team is getting a new logo. Sometimes he knows about stuff way before me. Sometimes I'm unaware of a new logo. And I remember there's one team here, the Queen City Corn Dogs. You can look at
it's a very recent interview that I saw. You were talking about this team that I had never heard of until I saw the video.
These guys, and you know, it was on his map, it was on his list, and you know, I'm like, okay, cool, let me reach out to those guys. And we had a really great interview. And then last year I was not too far from San Antonio,
Weimar. Yeah.
And I checked out a Red Ants game. The Hormigas. Unfortunately, they're not there anymore. They folded, but I love that ballpark. I don't know if you have gone out there to check any high school games or things like that. It's
gorgeous. I haven't actually. You know, it's funny. Like, I've been to Houston. Obviously, it's pretty close to San Antonio. So I've driven through there or like past it, you know, going on the interstate. But I never, again, it wasn't until I saw it through Baseball Mapper that the Pecos League actually existed. I was like, how did I not know that this team was here? I maybe would have like planned a little better, looked at the schedule and see if I could like stop halfway and check out a game.
Unfortunately, I don't think the city was aware of the team playing. So they sort of bit the dust. I think that'd be a better Texas Collegiate League spot than Pecos.
Right.
It was nice going out there. It's a 1947 ballpark. It looks like it has not changed since 1947. It's kept up really well. It has a nice marquee entrance. It has a veterans memorial inside of it as well. It's gorgeous. You know, it feels like
that's cool.
Time. And then you got the Austin Weirdos up far from you, which. They had one of the worst ballparks I've seen, but
oh, is that right? Okay,
I heard they're moving. Yeah, this I made a video of that ballpark. If you watch it, you'll say that's a ballpark. It's
I would love to check that out. Yeah, no, that one stood out to me too, because I discovered them last summer, and so I was checking out their schedule to see if I could find something that aligned, and it just never did. Because first of all, the name, the logo, everything about that team was just so odd to me. But I love the fact that there was a team in Austin. I always found that weird. I'm like, how does a city the size of Austin, Texas, not have, you know, and of course there is the Round Rock Express, but that's so far removed from like, you know, the core, what I consider Austin, you know, Georgetown, Round Rock just feels so far off.
I think the land up there was very cheap. So they
said,
we'll build a ballpark here. And from what I heard, I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I checked out a game there last year. I had fun. That's a really cool stadium. I think the prices are kind of high. $15 to park your car. I don't know what it's like in San Antonio, but
it's about $10-$15. There's actually a number of things that I, you know, wanted to say about that. Like eventually, you know, I don't know if this is like an appropriate segue, but I've always kind of said, like, you know, in another life, if I wasn't, you know, doing productions, you know, in sports in general, like, cause now I feel like I've doing this for, you know, a third season now, this is kind of like cemented, you know, sort of like who I am, what I do, what I'm about, and what I would like to, you know, like push the envelope on. I've always said, like, if I wasn't interested in any of that, like I would have been like an urbanist, you know, like a street designer. Cause you know, and especially like, you know, you can kind of like plug that into like baseball design and stadium design. And you look at, you know, like a stadium, like, I don't know if, have you been out to a game here in San Antonio before?
Yes, I've been out to a game.
Okay. So then, you know, like, you know, the stadium itself is pretty far, you know, about 8 miles from downtown San Antonio, off a highway, nothing around it. I mean, it's just, there's not even like a cool bar or restaurant. It's just, you're right across from it. It's Lackland Air Force Base, which actually is kind of cool because you can get like, you know, I've taken some pretty cool pictures, like even, or like got some great shots too, with like, you know, big jets coming in, landing, in the background, which is really cool to see. But beyond that, like you're really like required, to take your vehicle out there and, you know, that's kind of how they get you right from the get-go, because, you know, and I'm not throwing shade at my team. I do love the missions, but, you know, it is kind of one of those things where you're like, absolute minimum, you're going to be paying $10 to park your car. There is really no way around that. Like, you can, there's like some residential streets. I think there's like five or so kind of adjacent to the parking lot area, but you're kind of at your own risk there, because you're just like parking in front of someone's house. It's very quiet residential streets. So, you know, you're kind of putting yourself like up for failure potentially. But if you want to park like at the stadium in the lots, that's $10, and there's really no way around that.
So are you saying, you know, the neighborhood's not that safe, or is it just?
I wouldn't say it's like dangerous or in like a bad neighborhood. But there's just nothing around it, in the sense that, you know, you're just all that there is, it's just a couple like quiet streets of residential property, and that's kind of it. So if you do choose to like park there and, you know, avoid the $10 or whatever, like you can, but, you know, you're just kind of like at the mercy of, like, you know, you just these dark residential streets where there's just no, you know, so again, like not dangerous. I don't want to be painting like a bad picture. Like, this is in like a rough and tumble neighborhood, because it's really not. It's really just in the middle of nothing. So if you know, like if you're not parking at the stadium, you're just parking next to nothing, and like someone breaks into your car, that's on you, because there's no way of like avoiding that.
Kind of like when you come to an Indy 500 out here, you can park on the street. Now, of course, you know, that person who lives there is going to charge you about $20 to park.
Right.
I'm sure somebody's doing that as well in San Antonio. Oh, park here for $5. You know, you could park on my lawn. I'll watch it. So
yeah, like I'm going to be here all night watching TV, whatever. Just walk across the street and there you go. But yeah, no, and actually it might be $15 at this point. I'm not for sure. You know, it's something like I'm really good friends with the parking guys, you know, so like I just drive in and just kind of wave, and like, you know, we don't have to pay as like, you know, people who like game day staff that work there. But I think for everyone else, yeah, I think it is. I think it might be $15. Like, they definitely did have to raise prices in 2021, you know, with a lost season, which I think most people did. And, you know, especially with, you know, costs being the way that they are, and, you know, with the, not to get political, but like, you know, you're like paying more for the same thing that you were just a couple of years ago, just across the board.
Yeah, because I know, I just remember looking at the parking when I was out in Texas. I went to Houston too to visit my cousin and his wife and kids, and it was $10 to park in Sugar Land. And then I think we paid $20 to park for an Astros game. I was shocked that was that low, you know, because you had
I would agree with that too. Yeah,
you had a lot of lots surrounding Minute Maid Field and or Minute Maid Park. And it was, I remember 40, then it went down to 30. And then right across from 30, it was 20. And I told my cousin Dave, I said, just drive down one more block. It's probably 10. But he's like, nah, I will park here.
And you start pressing your luck.
Yeah, you start pressing your luck. You get stuck coming back. But yeah, no, I did a lot of ballparks in Texas last summer. And, you know, that's the thing. I always take that one trip where I want to see a bunch of stadiums. I thought about driving up to Dallas to check out Frisco and the Rangers, but that was a good 3-hour drive without traffic. So
yeah, no, that's the thing. Like, you know, being from Montana and then now living in Texas, it's like things are so spread out. So it's like, you know, even you might be in the same state as things you want to do, but it might as well be several states over. But yeah, I it's kind of one of those things. I've always had more of an affinity towards, you know, ballparks that, you know, kind of like welcome pedestrians and you know, kind of like, again, like we were talking about, like ballparks that you can float to, you know, just like different means of arrival than just like your standard traditional and, you know, let's drive, let's factor in the money for parking. And then, you know, that's kind of one of those things. It's like, okay, you're going to be forced to like drive in traffic, and then you got to pay to, you know, and then you got to sit in the traffic getting out. And it's, again, like, you know, seeing all these ballparks kind of firsthand, I think that was kind of my biggest takeaway in 2017 when I saw all 30 was like, how are these, you know, not even just like how are these cities designing their stadiums, but how are the teams identifying with the city? You know, like I look at ballparks like Angel Stadium, which is a great stadium, but it's surrounded by, it's just a sea of parking. There is absolutely nothing around it. You know, that you're not going to like go to a bar and like grab a beer and like meet up with your friends and then go to an Angels game. You're just going to go to the game because you got to park. There is no way to attend an Angels game. And if you park somewhere else and walk, you're going to have to walk through that giant parking lot to begin with. And, you know, and I think that was, I had a great time, but that was my big takeaway is like, okay, like I'm traveling, I had to rent a car and, you know, that sucked for so many reasons. Dodger Stadium was the same way. I was like, this is such a mecca for baseball fans, but you know, it's impossible to get to if you don't have a car. And I just remember like sitting in traffic before and after. And then when you enter, it's like going through the big booths. It feels like, you know, you're that scene from National Lampoon Vacation where, you know, he's driving to Wally World and then there's like the booths that he just plows right through because of course the park is empty. But I was like, this is what it feels like going to Dodger Stadium, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, that also tells you the errors that they were made, Angel Stadium and Dodger Stadium, both in the 60s where that was the goal, just drive here. And you look at, the Sky Dome in Toronto. That was one of the first newer ballparks that was built downtown within walking distance.
Right.
Same with, I'm trying to think of some other downtown ballparks. Baltimore is another one. Seattle.
It's a great one. Yep.
And there's a ton of other ones out there.
Even like Pittsburgh, you know, Pittsburgh, you can... Well, great walking city, you know, it's kind of designed that they want you to like walk across a bridge to get there. Like a bridge is featured like front and center. You're behind home plate and it's the Roberto Clemente Bridge, like right there in center field. It's a pretty prominent view and it just kind of gives you like this illusion of like, you know, even if you didn't walk across that getting to the game, you're sitting there looking at it and all of a sudden it's like, what are we doing after the game? Why don't we just walk downtown? You know, you're kind of, you like want to take it. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, you're just driven to want to like participate in the city.
Yeah, it's just like when I go to Cincinnati, sometimes I park in Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, that's what I did. Yeah, when I went and visited.
I think it's like $3 or $5. I don't think it's that much more in Ohio. And you just walk across the bridge and you can check out Newport on the, you know, Aquarium at Newport or, you know, some of the other features there. It's just, yeah, it's just that same concept there. But I know San Antonio has been looking for a new ballpark for quite some time. Is that still a topic of conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's kind of funny. We're getting ready to start our preseason meeting actually on Wednesday. So I know that there's going to be all kinds of questions that are being answered. And, you know, maybe, you know, I wouldn't mind like commenting like a follow up with just some like quick, you know, kind of blurbs as far as like more information that we're getting. And I'm just going to clear a little bit. This is Marty. He's very affectionate. The team did, the team got sold this offseason it's basically like a kind of a congregation of different like local executives and investors, but they started this company. It's called Designated Bidders and they bought the team for $28 million, which, you know, I don't really know what to take from that number. I don't know if that's like super high or super low for a AA team, but you know, the plans that they have for the team are pretty extravagant as far as like, you know, kind of their first and foremost goal is, you know, finding a plot of land and building a brand new stadium for the team. Because I mean, compared to like all the other teams in the Texas League, it's called Nelson Wolf Stadium. It's super dated, you know, I mean, you've been there, you've seen it. It's totally fine for what it is, but you know, for a city the size of San Antonio, it's just, we could do more and we should do more. And, you know, I think for those two or three seasons that they were AAA, it was easily the worst stadium in AAA. Like the second, you know, they made that jump and became AAA for Milwaukee. Like, okay, clearly we have the worst stadium and it's not even close. And so, you know, they are really wanting to, you know, to change some things up. And so, and the goal is to put it downtown for sure. You know, the Riverwalk in San Antonio is like the number one most visited, Again, I love this guy so much. He's just kind of up on the mic. So, but yeah, the Riverwalk is like the number one most visited attraction in the state of Texas. And, you know, if you want to like get these fans or, you know, these baseball enthusiasts to come in and like check out the city and all that it has to offer, like telling them essentially that, we have baseball. You just got to rent a car and drive out there and, you know, sit for 3 hours. And it's a totally fine, acceptable stadium, but the amenities are really lacking. And, you know, that's the number one goal here for Designated Bidders. And actually one of the clients like with Designated Bidders is Ryan Sanders Baseball, which is, you know, the ownership of, his name is Don Sanders, who was like a former minority owner of the Astros, and Nolan Ryan, you know, who, and that group, that Ryan Sanders Baseball, like they're responsible for the ballpark that we just mentioned in Round Rock, you know, with the Round Rock Express and the Corpus Christi Hooks down in Corpus Christi, like two of the nicest ballparks in Texas by far. So, you know, it's very exciting to have them on board, you know, to kind of shake them some things up. And I'm very excited to see, you know, what might come of like a brand new stadium.
I think that's going to happen. I remember Nashville had the worst ballpark for many years, Greer Stadium, and then now they have a ballpark. So I think and Wichita had a terrible ballpark too, and then they built a new one. So yeah, you'll see things. You'll see things coming in San Antonio. You know, when you have those downtown ballparks, even like in Des Moines, Iowa, not the greatest ballpark, but perfectly located.
For sure.
A lot of great things. So yeah, hopefully that happens soon. I don't know if there's space in San Antonio or land. I know Chattanooga is looking to get a new ballpark. The Tennessee Smokies are looking to get back to Knoxville. So yeah, other teams have this problem, and hopefully they'll correct that soon.
Yeah, no, I think so. I'm very optimistic about, you know, kind of where things are at. I think we're like for sure a few years out from seeing this happen. But, you know, one of the other players in all this is it's like an investment or like a leasing and development company called Weston Urban. Guys, Weston, who like kind of founded the company, but you know, they developed and built the Frost Tower, which is like a beautiful, like brand new skyscraper in downtown San Antonio. And, you know, I think one of their specialties is just like finding properties, like finding land, you know, and some of the properties that they have in their portfolio are like old buildings that they just kind of like restore or, you know, like change and develop into like apartments or, you know, some new utilization of the building. But, you know, their ability to like find land and then, or like find these like creative places to build things. And then Ryan Sanders, you know, coming in and their ability to like build these like gorgeous state-of-the-art ballparks, like filled with like top of the line amenities. Like it's very optimistic around here. And I think that like the city is pretty thrilled with kind of where things are headed.
So hopefully we'll see some great things in San Antonio, gorgeous city. And hopefully they'll get that ballpark in the future. So, but anyway, before we let you go, we do want to talk about your YouTube page.
Yeah.
Is that something new, something you're just having fun with? You're looking to be a content creator? What's the story there?
You know, it started off as just kind of for fun. Like, you know, I kicked off a video on it. This was like last February where there was a brand new team in the Pioneer League in Kalispell, Montana, which is like really close to my hometown where I grew up at in Big Fork, Montana. And, you know, they were kind of like teasing their logos and the team name for quite a while. And then they finally dropped them. And I was, you know, kind of just grabbed the camera and was excited to just sort of like share my opinion for the Glacier Range Riders as the team. And it just kind of like led me to, you know, just, I was like, I enjoyed doing that to begin with. And it just kind of like took off, so to speak, where I was just like, okay, I just like love talking about like logo design and baseball and travel and like putting those things together. And, you know, so I haven't been giving it, especially now that, you know, I just got back from Phoenix and I'm about to go right back to Phoenix for some spring training to actually like, you know, do some camera operation there, which I'm really excited about. Like some of these videos for me have like taken a little bit of a backseat, and I'm trying not to let that happen. But I'm still like, I'm actually working on one for the XFL where I'm talking about their logos. Okay. Cause you know, San Antonio now has an XFL team, which is really exciting. So there's football in San Antonio. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it started off as like just for fun, and it still is, it'll never not be fun. But yeah, no, it is something that I'm like wanting to give more attention to. And I'm starting to like actually like schedule things out where it's like, okay, on top of, you know, the season coming up with missions and some of the traveling that I'm trying to do and some of the baseball that I'm trying to like cover, I'm actually like scheduling in like different videos that I want to create and different leagues and logos that I want to talk about, including the Texas Collegiate League, which I'm going to be talking about next. There's only 5 teams in the league. And so it's, you know, kind of one of those like super easy to do, really fun leagues to talk about. So yeah, no, there will definitely be a lot more videos in the future, and I'm trying to give it as equal attention, to the San Antonio missions, I'm trying to give them equal attention here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot to do. You know, you have so much, some little days to do things, but yeah, I know.
For sure.
I'll look at your prospect league one. The Terre Haute Rex, you know, you like that.
Yeah.
Colors. And it's from coffee. And then you go into ordering coffee and making a cup. Do you still have that coffee laying around?
I do. Yeah. I've got the rest of the beans in the freezer. I remember it being just like totally fine coffee, but Yeah, no, that was a definite rabbit hole that I went down. And I'm still, you know, someone actually commented on that pretty recently about that coffee, and it sent me right back down the rabbit hole again. And, you know, just trying to find some answers, because they have, like, since that video got published, they have, like, become active on Twitter and Instagram again, and they do have, like, an actual website. But all that coffee is still shipped from Georgia. So I still, still have questions for that yeah, team.
That's the thing. When I went to school in Terre Haute in Indiana State, I'd never heard
of
Rex Coffee. I know at one time it was around, and then Clabber Girl, they had a museum, which was in downtown. I don't think that's there anymore. It was nice. It was like a free little, you know, it was like a gift shop and store, and you would walk into like an 1890 typical looking Clabber Girl warehouse store. And I think they had the coffee there at that time, but this is probably about a good 10 years ago. But you're right. It's like, what the heck happened to Rex Coffee? Why can't you get it there? And this is what you named your you named your baseball team after. I also know it means king in Latin.
Okay. I didn't know that. That explains the crown.
Yeah. T-Rex, you know, king of the dinosaurs, I think. That's where he gets his name. Okay. Yeah, it was a trivia question. I said, what the heck is the name? And I just said Rex. I go, well, the Terre Haute team has a crown, Rex. But yeah, I've done a lot of writings about baseball in Terre Haute, and they've had teams called the Tots and the Huts and the Terriers and all sorts of the coal miners. I've never heard of a coal miner in Terre Haute, but
yeah.
they said that the Rex name fit in line with like Terre Haute's unique names. They had a team there in the 1880s called the Awkwards, the Terre Haute Awkwards.
The Awkwards. Okay.
And I have reached out to the Rex on several occasions and say, would you want to come on my show? I went to school there. I'm like, oh, I was just in Terre Haute the other week. Went by the stadium. I said, come on the show. I want to talk about your names. You should do a Terre Haute Awkwards throwback jersey. You should do a Terre Haute Tots throwback jersey.
Heck yeah.
I get nothing. I think it's run through the sports management department. I don't know if that's still the case. But yeah, it's, you know, I like the logo too. I probably would like to get a hat when I'm out there. But, you know, sometimes it says like Wabash Valley Rex, which.
Yeah, I saw that. And I don't know. That kept showing up every time I would even just type in like Terre Haute Rex. And so like, I didn't know if that was the official logo or not. Like, that's kind of the tricky thing about some of these leagues that, you know, maybe don't have like as much of, you know, an impact kind of nationally. Like they're working on a, like you mentioned earlier, a shoestring budget. It's like, there's a lot of like unsolvable mysteries with these things. And, you know, with that team specifically, you know, I thought that there might've been a bigger connection with like that coffee brand of the city, and to hear someone, you know, who's actually from there that's never heard of it is kind of like vindicating for so many reasons. I'm like, okay, like I'm not crazy for thinking too far into this.
Yeah, like Terre Haute, like when I went to school, they had a beer they used to make called Champagne Velvet, which was one of the most popular beers in like, you know, 1890. Everything was like from the 1890s or up until up until Prohibition. And then that got sold to Pabst and it went under, and then somebody brought it back in 2000. They brought back the Champagne Velvet Tap Room. And, you know, in 2000, a lot of people were not drinking craft beer. It was like, whoa, what's this? And then 10 years later, they were. And then another Indiana brewery in Bloomington, Upland, bought the recipe. They changed it up. Now you can get Champagne Velvet. But it felt like Terre Haute was always like proud of its past. You know, it used to be a very
right.
At the turn of the 20th century, it's where Al Capone would hang out. You had a red light district. You had a lot of gambling and party. I would love to see what that Terre Haute was like. It definitely is not like that anymore. So
it kind of mellowed down a little bit.
It used to be called Terrible Haute, Sin City. It had a reputation. The city's had a history of baseball, you know, from at least 1870 with amateur teams all the way up until 1956 when the last minor league folded. So, you know, I may have to go out there and check out a Rex game again this year. I don't think I've been out there since their first season. See how things are there, because, you know, Terre Haute's one of those towns, like, I don't know, just like you want to see good happen there. You know, they have a shopping mall that is kind of dying, like a lot of other shopping malls. They have a downtown that they're trying to sprucing up. I don't know.
If you do go out, like try and get some answers for that coffee, because Again, I'm a big coffee guy. I love drinking coffee. That was one of the most interesting purchases. I was just, you know.
Yeah, you're right. Because it came from like
to Amazon. And then,
Alpharetta, Georgia. Like, I can't find Rex coffee out here. You know, you think you would say Indiana's Rex. You know, every supermarket has like a local section of food. So
right. And for that, for whatever reason, it's like the team really wanted to lean into it, but which is cool. You know, I really like that they kind of like dug up that little piece because I knew nothing about Rex Coffee. And honestly, I still don't. So next time you go out there.
We still don't. I wish I would have saw that video prior to my visit. I might have done some research to check.
Yeah, be worth it. Yeah, next time you're there, I would love to get some more answers for that. Because again, I'm so far down that rabbit hole right now.
So, last question I have, when you do these baseball critiques, do you ever come across like a logo and you say, wow, I really want that on a hat. Let me go order that. Has that happened yet?
Oh, absolutely. There's a league in Portland called the Wild West League.
Yes.
And I think I have the Wild West League, I think is actually what it's called. But they had four teams the last time I looked them up, and two of them were in Portland, including the Gherkins, yes. Right? Yeah, the Portland Gherkins, the Portland Rosebuds, and the Portland Pickles. And the Portland Rosebuds was a team that I never heard of until I started. Again, that was one that I found on Baseball Mapper, and going down the rabbit hole on that, I absolutely went out and bought that hat. I think it was like $45 for a brand new era cap. And I'm wearing it in the league that I did. Oh, I can't remember. It's going to drive me crazy. But that was one of the comments that people asked me. I was like ranking this. The Northwoods League was the video that I made where I'm wearing this hat. And that was one of the first comments that I got was like, what hat is that? Where did you get it? What team is that? It's like, yeah, it's Portland Rosebuds. And I've come across a few scents that I've like, yeah, I've absolutely got to have that. Like I actually have a bobblehead on my shelf of the Portland Gherkins. I think his name is Lil P. It's like the mascot there for that team. And so big bobblehead guy, I needed to have that one for the collection. But yeah, I think I have too many to count as far as like teams with logos that I've seen. I'm like, absolutely got to have this, got to have the merchandise. I neglect to pull the trigger sometimes just because I would absolutely be broke if I did for every impulse purchase that I wanted to pull the trigger on. I'd be so in debt right now with that.
You're absolutely right. Like there's a team in Australia called the Sydney Blue Sox. I love that logo and I want a cap, but it's almost like $60.
Oh yeah. Shipping it overseas. I would imagine. Yeah.
I can't justify that. It's
yeah.
Even like spending like $35 on a hat sometimes when you add in the shipping and the taxes and the handling fees, it's like, good Lord. So I always try to find hats on sale. I know when the DuPage, well, now they're the Illinois.
Oh, the Pistol Shrimp. Yeah.
No, you talked about them. This was $10 because they had moved.
Oh, okay.
Getting rid of their hats. So I think I probably spent $20 on that, but that is a beautiful logo.
Oh, it's one of the best logos I've ever seen. You're talking about like as an example. That was as soon as I saw that logo, yeah, I looked up their merch. And this was a while ago, so I don't think they had any hats for sale. Otherwise, I probably would have bought one. I may have to go once we finish up. I may have to go double check and see the Pistol Shrimp have anything going on in the merch department. Because that's another thing too. Like, you know, we talk about like, you know, operating on a shoestring budget with some of these teams, you would think that they'd be more inclined to like sell merch or have it like more accessible. But like I've gone down, different lengths to try and like get some merchandise for some of these teams. And it's like, it's kind of one of those things. It's like, sometimes I find merch and it's too expensive, but sometimes I just can't find merch at all. And that's kind of discouraging too, because I remember looking up that team specifically and like, they didn't really have a reliable web store. And I think what they might have had like a koozie and like a plush ball, but I couldn't find anything by the way of like, you know, like even a jersey, or a hat, which was like really what I was looking for. Maybe I need to go re-explore that, because I would totally wear that hat every day if I had it.
Yeah, because sometimes with these teams, it's like they'll sell out their merchandise and they don't get it until the beginning of the year. I know like the Wilson Tobbs of the Coastal Plain League.
Great logo.
I contacted them. They said, yeah, we haven't got our new shipment in yet. But you're right. You know, if you're going to make this really nice logo, you want to at least have like a couple basic hats.
Right.
stock at all times, because you may have a bloke out in Vancouver, BC, or down in Texas, or out here in Indiana wanting to order it. And, you know, we want it now, you know, especially if it's, you know, 30, you know, we'll give you $30. We'll wear this.
Nice, yeah, and I'd wear that every day. That is such a, yeah, there you go. That is such a sick hat. That is honestly one of the best logos in baseball I've ever seen.
This hat's a little big for some reason on me, which I am shocked. But yeah, it is a great logo. I love the orange in black. And that, yeah, it just, it's doesn't make sense to call the pistol shrimp. But
no.
If you start doing some research on a pistol shrimp, they're a badass animal. Don't mess.
They really are. Yeah, no, they really are. It was the first time I'd ever heard of it. Like I had to do the same thing that you're talking about. It's just like you look it up and it's like, okay, like it's very unique name, but yeah, the incredible animal. And they do have like that big claw. That's not even just like, you know, the funny part is they have like one huge claw.
Yeah. And then have you seen the new Prospect League team and the Throwbillies.
Throwbillies.
They just announced it a couple days ago.
No, I'm gonna have to look that up. Where do they play it?
They're gonna play in Marion, Illinois. So it's
okay.
Where the Southern Illinois Miners played.
Got it.
They have two logos. They look like their Brandiose logos a little bit. I don't know, but so the Prospect League is gonna have a team called the Hillbillies and the Throwbillies.
I love it.
I kind of like how they went that route. Why not? You know?
Yeah, why not? Just give yourself a little rivalry there right off the bat. That's another thing too, is that, you know, and I'm glad you told me this, because it's like the more videos that I cover, the more leagues that I cover with logos, there has to be for me like a bit of a backtracking kind of catalog where it's like I have to kind of be on top of this, because you know the video can date itself pretty quickly if like a season or two goes by and it's like a team has moved, changed team names, like another one joined, and it's like, okay, like I might have to give it like 2 or 3 years before I like do like an update, because I've also like gone back and rewatched old videos and I'm like, why the hell did I rank this so low? Like there's so many things I like about this logo. Or the opposite is true. I'm like, I rank this so high, and the more I look at it, I'm like, no, man, it's like it is good, but this other one was better. You know, and like, yeah, teams change cities all the time. I should say leagues change their teams all the time. And especially some of these like lower, you know, smaller budget leagues, it's like sometimes teams just fold because they can't, you know, get fans and seats and they can't support the team anymore. And you know, it sadly happens all the time. And so like, again, these videos, they're really fun to do, but they're kind of like an in the moment sort of thing where it's like, give it a few months and it might be completely different.
Yeah. And especially like the Pecos League, I feel like they have new teams every year. Now they have some,
for sure.
They have some of the best logos out there. Like, I don't know how they do it, cause I don't think they're hiring, you know, artists, you know, a premium designer. I think they're just getting, they're finding a way to make some of these logos. And sometimes they really, they really hit the mark. It's like, well, that's nice. That's
for sure.
Cool. You know,
and that league too has some very weird, not weird so much, but unique team names where it's like, you know, I haven't seen it in any other league, really in any other sport, you know, like the Weirdos, for example, Weirdos always stands out to me.
I would say that hat, if that ball club, and I've been trying to get them out on my podcast as well. If they were selling that at the airport in Austin, I mean, people would buy that hat as a
suit. For sure.
Not even knowing that's a, like, okay, who are the, oh, that's a baseball team? Oh, I love this hat. It had that kind of, you know, trippy little tie-dye bill, and it had a really nice logo. I know they're introducing another logo this year that I don't like at all, but I feel like they're missing out on an opportunity. I feel like, you know, if you're the Austin Weirdos, make it a weird event to come out to the game.
Yeah, I agree. And it, honestly, well, that, like what you just said is what the Wild Wild West League really emphasized. It's like kind of the weirdness, you know, where you're doing like, it's sort of like almost acrobatic stuff to like entertain the crowd, you know, in between pitches, and like they do all kinds of weird stuff. And of course, like I think the Savannah Bananas is probably the most like popular example of that. But yeah, I agree. If you're going to have a team named that, you know, playing in like one of, there's the whole idea of like keep Austin weird. Well, you're the Weirdos, so you have the perfect example to set something like that up and like actually keep it weird.
Yeah, but I mean, when I went to their game, it was like, that's the only thing they were selling was those hats, and they couldn't sell beer in the ballpark, but they had a cooler of beer in the, like, not the owner, but I guess it was the GM's pickup truck, this giant cooler. Like, yeah, you want to donate some money. So I gave the guy like, you know, 10 bucks, picked up about three beers. And, I was with my cousin and her boyfriend and his daughter. So yeah, we drank very cheaply there.
That's awesome.
An ice cream truck came by and we all ran out and got ice cream, but they didn't have any, I don't think they had any food. They might've had some chips and, you know, they're like, yeah, we want to get a grill. And, you know, we sort of just kind of started late. So hopefully with the new ballpark this year, they get things in order, but yeah, that's a really cool hat. And I know my cousin's boyfriend wears it. He wears it all the time. Every time I see a picture of those two, he's rocking the
Austin. Just repping the Austin weirdos.
And it's like, 'cause you're representing your city. So it's right. Not just this baseball team in the Pecos League, it's Austin, and it's the perfect hat. And I really wish they would talk to me. I can consult them with some stuff. Just get that hat in the airport and just wear a tag with your information on it, so maybe people will check you out. But they would buy that hat and they would take it home and they would say, hey, I got this hat in Austin, and everybody would love it. So
yeah, no, it's such an easy sell. I'm with you.
There, so you know, what do I know? I'm just a baseball guy with a podcast, and I travel with a YouTube page, and so things like that. So anyway, Cody, I appreciate you coming on tonight.
Definitely. No, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, great time talking. You're always welcome to come back. I'll be checking out your videos. I have not seen all of your critique videos, but I'm going to watch a few after this episode. And let everybody know where they can find you on YouTube or if they're at a missions game.
Yeah, there you go. No, come find me in a missions game. I do get complimentary tickets. So if anyone out there wants to go check out the missions, you know, you can see the ballpark for it's probably this season and next season, I would imagine. And it's, you know, I feel like I did talk some smack, but it is a historic stadium and it's what we're checking out. So I would absolutely like entertain anyone who wants to come out, you know, make sure we get you on the Jumbotron kind of thing. And feel free to check out my channel. It's just Cody White 210. 210 is the area code here in San Antonio. So just kind of keep everything concise. This has been a really, really fun experience. And it's been great to sit here and talk baseball with you.
Yeah, always great to talk baseball. I think that's why I like doing this. Just, you know, baseball-minded people and from all across the country.
No, absolutely. Thank you.
All right. And I want to thank everyone else for listening. I would not be here without everyone checking out the podcast, checking out the YouTube page, reading my articles on Stadium Journey. Join me next week where I should have a person, you know, hopefully that works out. Aaron Coronado of San Antonio Sandlot Baseball League, something we didn't even talk about. So we'll save that for another time.
No, absolutely. He's fantastic. He's going to be a great person to talk to. So I'm really looking forward to that episode.
So this is the first time I had somebody recommend the guest. They knew him coming up. So
well, that's the thing. I've talked to him in a few. It's kind of Texas Dingers is like the original Sandlot, the San Antonio team here for Sandlot baseball. And he's, you know, I've talked a lot about with him with like pioneering that and getting that going. So really looking forward to that. You're going to have a good time with Aaron.
Right. Yeah. And let him know. Let him know that I'm ready to go next week with him or whenever he's ready. So just say, hey, have you responded to Mark yet?
So. For sure. Yeah, I'll get on to him about that.
Pull a few strings for me. All right. So you can follow me at Ballpark Hunter on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and you can check out my articles on stadiumjourney.com. So until next time, we will see you all at the ballpark. Take care.